I want you to listen tonight because there'll be times when everybody needs to hear this message. You know, the wonderful thing about the Word of God is we talked about the other day how that God was able to take just the ordinary human beings and do things with them. And how that we could be used by God, the creator of the world, by just making ourselves available, we could be used. And can you imagine if you were instrumental in helping one person get saved? Do you understand what you just accomplished? Jesus said that that soul is more important and greater than all the rest of the world. And so you've accomplished. He asked the question, what would you give in exchange for your soul? And so if you have been used for that, it's more valuable than anything else you'll accomplish here upon this earth. Now in chapter 19 of 1 Kings, begin reading with me if you would, in verse number 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with a sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by the morrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and he went for his life, and he came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and he left his servant there. And he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. He requested for himself that he might die. And he said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he laid and he slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and he laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came to him second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went into strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave, and he lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, throw down thine altars and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and broke in pieces a rock before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle, and he went out and he stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, throw down thine altars and slain thy prophets with a sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. The Lord said unto him, go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the king of Nebuchadnezzar, shall thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elijah, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elijah slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which has not kissed him. Tonight, I want to preach upon something. I've preached from this text before, but I want to preach upon this thought. Going through depression. You may think that you are above and beyond depression. Depression is very easy to find yourself in the midst of, especially when you get physically worn and you get mentally worn, and especially as well sometimes when you get spiritually isolated. Now, you've got to remember the setting of this. The setting of this was Elijah had just got through, and God had been using him in several different situations in the last several chapters. In the last chapter, he was on Mount Carmel. He stood and he faced 950 prophets of Baal. There was a competition to see who was a true God. And Baal, they were going to see who could call fire down from heaven. Now, Jezebel had sent Ahab to Mount Carmel with all these prophets. She was expecting to hear news that those 950 put Elijah to shame. And so here, Ahab was there. Of course, remember, it hadn't rained for 3.5 years. And Ahab was there. And so what happened was all the prophets of Baal began to cry and beg and cut themselves, do all that, and couldn't get any answer because Baal was a dead god. It came time for Elijah to do it, and he laid the sacrifices out, and he told them to take 4 barrels and dump it all over the sacrifices and take 4 more barrels and do it 3 times. Then he prayed, and God sent fire from heaven, and the Bible said he even licked up all the water in the trench. The prophets began to run, and they chased them down. They killed every one of the prophets of Baal. And then if you notice in verse number 37 of chapter 18, Elijah said, "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and thou hast turned their heart back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wood and stones, the dust, licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, he is a God. The Lord, he is God." And so therefore, Elijah thought that Israel just saw a great revival. Now also Ahab was witness to this. Now Ahab, he had come back. And of course, then the Lord sent rain as well. If you read the last part of it, what happened was Ahab was headed back, about a 17-mile trip. If you look at the very last verse in chapter number 18, some of you boys that thinks they're such athletes today, look what it says. "And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins, and he ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel." Now, if you follow that, and you follow the maps, he ran for 17 miles and he outrun the chariots of Ahab. That's pretty fascinating. Amen. They think they've got track runners now. Elijah did that. Now the amazing thing is he got back to Jezreel, and you would think that he'd be on the very top of his mountain. You would think that he'd just be glowing in the Lord and ready to take on any forces after standing down 950 prophets. But Ahab come back and he told Jezebel what had happened. Now Jezebel, she was the one that ran the things around there. And ladies, let me tell you something. If your husband ever called you Jezebel, it's not a compliment, okay? Just so you know, just a little bit of advice. But what I want you to understand is that Ahab did like a lot of other people in the world today. He had witnessed the fact of what God could do. But instead of humbling his heart and calling upon God for salvation, he gave all the credit to Elijah. Made it easier when he threw the cast upon another person. In the world today, a lot of people reject Jesus. They mock and laugh at Christians. And I'll be honest with you, Christians give them a lot of fodder. They give them a lot of excuses. But they don't have to be concerned with the Christians. It's not the Christians, it's Christ. They better recognize who Christ is. Amen. They better humble themselves there. Amen. Now, if Ahab had done that, he probably wouldn't be in hell today. But what he did was he came back and he was scared. And he come back and he blamed it all on Elijah. And so Jezebel said, "I'm going to do the same thing to Elijah that he did to my prophets." and said, the sun won't go down till I do it. Now you would think that Elijah would not be too discouraged about this, because here he was, great man of God. He had done many miracles. He was able, and he just got through coming off a mountaintop of one of the miracles. And you would think that he'd be high. But lo and behold, when he heard that, he took off running for his life. Now, I want to talk about a couple things. And first of all, let me say this. The marvelous thing about the Word of God is this. God constantly reminds us that these characters in the Bible were just mortal people like us. As a matter of fact, over in the book of James, he tells us that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But then he goes on and he talks about that Elijah prayed and it rained not for three and a half years, and he was a man of like passions just like we are. So it's good to know that even great warriors and great people like Elijah was just like us. You know, some of the great people in the world, who would you all, if I was to ask you, who do you think's the greatest president we ever had, what would you say? Ronald Reagan? Bush? Abraham Lincoln. I would say Abraham Lincoln. I like Abraham Lincoln. I like what he did. But did you know something about Abraham Lincoln? Abraham Lincoln, he went through a period where his friends and family hid all the knives, all the razors around him, afraid that he would hurt himself. He got so depressed. You read his history, he lost a lot of campaigns. How many of you ever heard of Charles Spurgeon? That great preacher? Man, he was a man of God. He preached, and as a matter of fact, he would preach, and he had a tabernacle, a metropolitan tabernacle, and it held about 5,000 people. He would tell his members to stand outside and stay home sometimes to give lost people a seat to come in and listen to him preach. He packed the house. Did you know that there was times that Charles Spurgeon would get so depressed he wouldn't come to church, and his deacons would go and carry him to church for him to preach? Did you know that? When we get depressed, there are several things it takes in our life. And what happens is we have to learn to fight against it. Depression can lead us to all kinds of things. A lot of people on drugs and alcohol and destroyed their life because they've gotten depressed and didn't know how to deal with depression. Someone said one time, if you get depressed and you stay within over a couple of weeks, you need to really be concerned about it. Every one of us at times, we go through these little lows. We get depressed, we get tired, we get emotionally burnt out in some things sometimes. And so we've got to be very careful. Now Elijah here had been running and he'd run all the way in. I'm sure physically he was tired. And I'm sure emotionally after everything he went through on Mount Carmel, he was tired. But whenever he heard that Jezebel was after him, he ran and he went. And he went down, the Bible says that he went on down and he got down to Beersheba, left his servant there, went on down to the southern part of Judah. Now, if you get a map, that's about 125 miles that he went to flee from Jezebel. Now, in the process of time, he went and he sat down under a Jupiter tree. Now, I said that to say that there's a couple things that Elijah did that I want you to take note of. And you need to be careful and you need to watch it when you get to that place. Every one of us are susceptible at times to get discouraged or depressed. A good term for discouraged is when we lose our courage. And depressed is when we just, like I said, we get emotionally, physically, sometimes even spiritually drained. But if you notice what Elijah did was he took off and he got down to Beersheba and he left his servant there. A lot of times what you need to watch for, the first thing that you begin to do is you begin to isolate yourself from everybody else around you that cares for you. You need to be careful. I see people when they quit church, that's a dangerous sign sometimes. The very place where they need to be, the Bible says not forsake the assembling yourselves together. And the very place where they need to be around people that love them, they begin to isolate themselves. Now, you need to watch, because what happens is they get this mentality, nobody understands what's going on with me. Well, Elijah kind of got the same thing. And he said, you know, a couple times there, he said, I'm no better than my father. Now, maybe he got thinking a little bit too much of himself. Maybe he started putting a little bit too much on himself during that time. But whatever it was. Now, the second thing that I noticed that he did was this. He not only isolated himself away from people who cared, he took his eyes off the Lord and he put his eyes on himself. He was looking at what he could do. He forgot what the Lord had done. Now think about the widow and how the Lord had intervened there. Think about how the Lord had fed him with ravens. Think about how that the Lord had been with him on Mount Carmel. Now you would think that the first thing he would do is go to the Lord. Can I say something? Now listen to me very carefully. You may like it, you may not like it. As an American citizen, you have a right to vote. Now, the sad part about it is they're trying to give people that's not citizens right to vote. They have no right to vote. But you have a right to vote. And if you don't take advantage of that right, shame on you. Amen. Everybody here ought to take, because we are privileged to be in America, and vote. Amen. Now, let me say something else. As a citizen of heaven, you have the right to pray. No one else has that right. They have a relationship with God and the Father. You can go to Him about everything. And sometimes I've caught myself just like Elijah. Sometimes we get in a place where we get tired, we get wore out, everything, and just it's just, oh, poor old me, and nobody understands me, nobody understands what's going on with me, and we take our eyes off the Lord.
Amen.
But as a citizen of heaven, we have a right, and we are the only ones has a right to come boldly to the throne of God any time of any need we have.
Amen.
And can I say this? Shame on us when we don't take advantage of it.
Amen.
Just think what lost people would like to have that opportunity. And you say, well, sometimes they do. But see, God's different than some of these politicians in America. Some of the politicians in America schemes around and tries and lets people that's not citizens vote. But God only lets those that citizens of heaven get their prayers through. The only other prayer He's going to listen is so when someone cries out and they call out for salvation of God. Now, next thing I want you to notice is this. Elijah here, he got in a place in his life where, and by the way, Christianity, I started to say this morning, we dealt with suffering. You can tell the value of what you have religiously by how much help it is when you're suffering. There is no greater thing than being a Christian. We have the greatest help there is. We have the help in everything that we do. But now, what you also need to remember is this, that Elijah, what Christianity wants out of us is that we give ourselves to others. In other words, Christianity is not a selfish religion, if you want to use the term religion. In other words, Christianity is something that if you're going to be happy, you have to be doing something and giving of yourself. If you're not giving of yourself and it's all about you, you don't have any peace. Well, what Elijah did here was, always before, he'd been helping everybody else. But now, he got where he wasn't helping others. He was just looking at himself. He was just thinking about his own problems. And you know, sometimes we look at our problems and we make them out to be a lot bigger than what they are. Listen, if God could hold rain for 3.5 years and then send rain, he could probably take care of Elijah's problem. And so anyway, what we find is that he had that attitude that he got, and he just, it was all about me. Then he just looked and he thought life is hopeless. Just no point. Nothing in life for me. He thought, I'm not going to be any better than my father's, and I'm not going to make any more difference than my father's. And me and I only am left. Oh, that's a bad way to get. That's what Elijah did. You know, there were some other great people got, and they just said, I'm going to quit. I'm going to run away. Peter, we preached on the other day. He said, I go fishing. He give up. John the Baptist said, go back and ask him, is he really he? How about Moses? Moses wanted to quit. Jonah? Jonah jumped on a ship and ran from God. And what we need to understand is, when we go through these emotions, and you say, well, preacher, something must be wrong with me because sometimes I just get depressed. Welcome to the real world. I like to tell you that you're just on top of the world and everything's going to be happy and gay and everything's going to go right and you're not going to do any suffering, you're not going to go through trial, but that's just not true. And this bunch that's running around, name it and claim it bunch, you need to stay away from prosperity. And boy, if you're right with God, all this prosperity just comes to you. That ain't right. That's not the way it works. And so Elijah here, he said, I just wish I would die. Now let me tell you something, because I worked with a lot of cases of suicide in my lifetime. And I went to some places and there's a lot of people that wanted to die and there's a lot of people that didn't want to die. A lot of people said they wanted to die and they were just crying out for help. Then there was others that meant business. I'll just give you an example. Those of you who don't know me, I worked for many years with the EMS and fire and so forth. One time we had this fella, I've told this in church before, and some of you may have heard it. We had this guy, he was an older man, he called, and I was listening on the phone. I'll never forget it. He said, I want you to send an ambulance over to my house. He said, but tell them not to be turning those sirens and those lights on. He said, I don't want them to alert my neighbors. He said, so the dispatcher said, sir, what's wrong? He said, well, I'm fixing to kill myself. He said, now I'm going to be dead by the time you get here. Don't try to rush over here because it's not going to do you any good. He said, but I want you to tell my wife that I'm in the second bedroom on the left back there, not to come back there. Tell her that I put all the insurance policies and everything that she needs on the kitchen table. And tell her that I love her. And of course, I know what some of you are thinking now. Well, but you see, he got himself into a state of depression. And so, sure enough, we went over there, and by the time we got there, we knocked on the door and no answer. We opened the door, and we forced the door open, and we went in. Went back to the second bedroom on the left, and sure enough, he took plastic, and he covered the whole roof, walls, and he took a shotgun, and he killed himself. He meant business. There were some times when I would go, and people would just be crying out for help. Now let me tell you something about Elijah. He was just crying out for help. Had he wanted to die, all he had to do was stay in Jezreel. And Jezebel would have been glad to take his life. He went 125 miles to keep his life from being taken. And sometimes we say things that we don't truly mean. And we get down and sometimes we go through those processes. But now I want you to notice this, because this is important. Notice how the Lord handled it. I'm glad that even the creator of the universe, he could have been mean, he could have been rough, he could come down on Elijah because of his actions, but notice what he did. He sent an angel. He was very gentle with Elijah. Elijah needed rest, and he allowed him to get some rest. He needed food. And so he came, he gave him provisions. And so the Lord showed up in his presence. And he gave him, and he told him this. He says, the journey is too great for thee. Now, I want you to get this very carefully. I don't care who you are. This old world and Satan and flesh that we deal with every single day, if you try to handle it by yourself, it's too much for you. You need some help. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You need help and I need help. I don't care how big you are and how strong you are and how strong you think you are. This journey is too great for you. And so the Lord just reminded Elijah, Elijah, this journey is too great for you. But I want you to notice that the Lord gave his presence. Then he gave his provisions. Then he got him up and he sent him away. And he sent him to Mount Horeb. And he sent him there, a mountain that had been used many times by God for God's people. But he sent him there to a cave, a place where he could get along with God. When we get to that place in our life, we need to get along with God. And what happened is, when he went there, all of a sudden there was an earthquake. And the Bible says that the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. Then the Bible says all of a sudden there was this great mighty wind and the Lord wasn't in it. Then there was this fire and the Lord wasn't in it. But the Bible said there was this small still voice. How many times that small still voice has rescued us? When we've gone down, we get disappointed, we get depressed, we get places in our life. Now, let me say this, because I'm not going to dwell on a lot of other stuff today like I did last time I preached this, but I want to say this in closing here in just a moment. If you notice what the Lord told him was this. He said, Elijah, I want you to go do this mission. And his job was to go, and he was to anoint Hazael, then Jehu, then Elijah. And what was happening was the Lord had already, he was so far ahead of Elijah. Elijah thought he and he only was left. He was so disappointed when the people of Israel didn't have a revival. He was so disappointed when Ahab and Jezebel and them didn't fall on their faces before God because God showed his mighty hand. And he was so disappointed and he was felt so dejected in all that. He just was so depressed about it. But then what he did was he said, I want you to go. He said, Elijah, I'm way ahead of you, buddy. You see, everybody that you don't deal with, Hazael's going to deal with. And those that he leaves, Jehu's going to come and take care of them. And those that he leaves, Elijah's going to pick up your spot and take care of them. You see, God was far ahead of Elijah. Can I tell you something? You worry and fret about today and what's going on in your life, God's way ahead of you. And what you need to understand is God is capable of making anything happen at any time he wants to.
Amen.
But what we have to do is this. We need to be very careful that we don't forget about him and we make it all about us. Because when we do, the journey is definitely too great for us. And so what we have to do sometimes, and I know every one of you go through times and you ask, why is the Lord making me go through this? But like we said this morning in closing, suffering is part of things that we do here upon this earth. And we as Christians, sometimes we suffer for different reasons, even above and beyond the lost people. But it's all for the purpose of conforming us toward the image of his son. But you see, our suffering is just temporary. When we go to that land where we'll never grow old, no more suffering ever. No more death, no more party, no more sickness, no more pain. But my friend, those that doesn't have Jesus, it's just beginning for them. So we have an awful lot to be thankful for.
Yes, amen.
And we need to be thankful. And so therefore, don't think it unusual when you go through these valleys. But you need to stop and you need to weigh it. And you need to be careful that you don't start trying to live in that. And you get yourself back out of it, amen. Let's stand this morning, evening. Maybe you're here tonight. Maybe